This past week, I've been thinking about relationships a great deal. You know, what makes them tick? And I think it goes without saying, it's probably really obvious that the goal of every relationship is to know someone better. Is that a big duh? We want to know someone better because otherwise relationship is shallow and really meaningless. So we want to grow in that relationship with another person so that we can begin to like that person, even love that person. We begin to appreciate them, even if we see faults in them, and we hope that they appreciate us despite our many faults. But that's what makes a relationship tick. And don't you just thank God for all the friends you have, for all the lovers you have, the spouses and everything that you might have, that all those close relationships too? Praise God that we have those opportunities. We're in a relationship with our God too. And what we've learned this past month is that our God knows us and wants us to get to know God better. And part of how we do that is to learn more about God, but not just learn about God, but to learn God by sharing our lives with God. And what we've learned over this month is that the more we know God, the more we love God, the more we appreciate God and our God connection, the more we thank God. We've been learning what it means to offer God our love by investing ourselves. What, I hear you saying? Investing in what? Well, in how we give of our time, how we give of our talents, and how we give of our treasures. And that, in a nutshell, is what it means as followers of Jesus Christ to practice the spiritual discipline of generosity. Amen? Oh, but it's not easy, is it? It's not easy because relationships are hard work, aren't they? What I mean is, you know, you always wish that your relationship is going to reach a point where you're on cloud nine, where it's nirvana, where everything's a blessing. But then you realize that some days that relationship can wane, right? It could just seem same old. And sometimes when we think about that, it's one of those things where it's like, Where is our relationship? We start to take other people for granted. People take us for granted. We do the same thing with God. God is always loving us. God is always showering God's grace on all of us. And us, we just do the best that we can. And we have to confess the difficulty in practicing spiritual generosity. You know, because let's face it, that's why it's a practice, right? That's why it's a discipline. Today, we're going to be talking about what it means to engage the spiritual discipline of generosity by talking about integrity, appreciative integrity. So I have an exercise for all of you. You get to shout out loud if you'd like to. For those of you at home, I'm about to ask a question. I would like for you, if you could, to answer in the chat window on YouTube or in the comment section on Facebook, or even write down on a piece of paper if you don't have access to those things. For those of you here, you can just simply share. You don't need to raise your hand. You could just kind of call out. Now, in my hand, I hold a Bible. This past couple of months, we've started something new called Alpha. Maybe you've heard of it. And Alpha is this thing. It's a get-together of awesome people where we come and we eat food. And we We play some silly games. We tell some really bizarre jokes. I can share a few about parrots with you that I learned last time. And we watch a video that shares some facet of the Christian faith. And then we sit and we talk about it. We talk about how what we feel about that video, what we sense there, and talk about our own faith. That's what Alpha is all about. And it's a great place where we can reach out to people no matter where they are in their faith journey. Now, last week, the topic was, how and why should I read the Bible? Now, as I look about the room today, and as I look into the camera at those of you watching online, I'm thinking there may be some familiarity with this book. Okay? Is that pretty safe to assume? Oh, you're very quiet out there. All right, there you go. So here's the question I would ask you. What's your favorite character or story from the Bible? Shout them out. What was that? David. Esther. Daniel. Jeremiah. Not a bullfrog. Paul. Imagine somebody yelled out Jesus out there too. Aaron. Mary. Oh, Mary. Yeah, Mary. Yeah, yeah. Isn't Noah, especially on a day like today? I don't know that one. So, all those favorite characters, those favorite stories. Now, I want you to imagine some more. This is a day of imagination, right? I want you to bring to your heart now, imagine them in front of you. The people in your life that made sure you knew who these characters and stories were. Who were they? Were they your members of your family? Were they your Sunday school teachers? Were they your friends? Was it your pastor, or was it your other people in your church, or even where you work or at school? Who was it that shared the characters of the Bible, that shared the stories of the Bible, that shared good news with you? You know what pops in my head always are the little felt board with Jesus with the lamb around his neck as the good shepherd in Mrs. Dingledine's class. And I've got a lot of fun Sunday school teachers, and even though I left the church at one point in my life, they made an impact such that I was able to come back. They made sure I knew those stories. So you have that person on your heart? Okay, we're going to stretch some more. Are you ready? Try to imagine who shared stories with them. And then who shared stories with them. And then who shared stories with them through the years, through the decades, through the centuries? Who shared good news all this time so that right now on the 21st of October 2021, all of us are able to talk about our favorite characters and our favorite stories, not because that's just a fun fact, but because it's truly what we love. What about those that had the vision and the foresight to think, you know, we need to reach out to more people on another side of town, so they built a building here in the 1980s and left a facility at Pearl Street that now is housing another church. That's good church multiplication to me, amen? How apostolic was that? And how about centuries ago when the Brown family came into this area, a wilderness, a wild place, and said, you know what? We're going to start a Methodist church. And we're going to start it, you know, we're going to build this little log cabin, clapboard cabin. And we're going to talk Jesus. We would not be here in this place right now if all this didn't happen. Now, I've got to share with you. I am amazed at that love. Aren't you? Aren't you just thankful? Aren't you grateful for all those that gave generously of their time, who engaged generously with their talents, who gave generously of their material wealth, all time with people they didn't know? Lives are constantly being changed for the good news of Jesus Christ. We should all be thankful. We should never take that for granted. This is not boring stuff. This is love in action. And in that love in action, we are called also to be generous. And we are to be generous, first of all, with the God of love who calls us, who creates us to be generous and relational creatures, and who calls us to be generous. I want to talk to you now about a concept. And that's the concept of appreciative integrity. The Reverend Dr. Lisa Cressman defines appreciative integrity as a outward giving that is commensurate, I never know if I'm pronouncing that word right, with the feeling of thanks in your heart. It's a giving out of sheer thankfulness to our God. You can think of it this way. You know, integrity is often defined as kind of being unified, as being brought together. That's another definition of being integrated, right? And if you think of ourselves as integrated, then we are put together, body and soul and mind, and we are put together so that what we believe and what we say, well, it's also what we do. Amen? What is the opposite of integration, of being integrated? Disintegrated. Pulled apart. Mind, body, spirit, this way and that. Where what we believe and what we say do not match what we do. And boy, doesn't the outside world take note when that happens. We are called to give with appreciative integrity. We are called to give out of sheer thankfulness on our hearts. Are you thankful to God for all that God has given you? Can I hear a hallelujah? Can I hear an amen? I mean, seriously, you can't just sit there and go, no! Say yay! Those of you at home, yay! There we go. This is exciting stuff. This is meaningful. You know, it's this appreciative integrity, it sounds like a strange concept, but really and truly, what we're talking about is cheerfulness. This is what Paul means when he's talking to the church in Corinth. He shares these words with them. He shares, each of you must give as you have made up your mind. I like that. You must give. Not maybe. You must give as each of you has made up your mind, though it's up to you, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a giver that gives out of sheer thankfulness, sheer gratitude, sheer love. And that's what it means to engage in generosity. Yesterday I was at Charge Conference, thankful to all those that were able to come there. from our church. We represented well, I think. And what we I attended a session on finances, always fun. And, you know, they were talking about how struggles in finances and things like that. And, you know, that we pastors don't like to talk about money, that congregations don't like pastors to talk about money. And I've shared with you my story of going to churches. It's like, I just got here. Why are you talking about money? Because it's a spiritual thing. How we, the things that we have don't come from us as much as we think we work hard. And we do. But we would have nothing. Absolutely nothing without God the Most High. And we owe everything to God. And that's why we talk about this. We, you know, probably should talk about this a little bit more and how we can be more generous. Again, it's not to make people feel guilty. It's not to make that compulsion word, I compel you. It's not that. It's just to open up saying, this is part of how we invest our lives with one another. This is how we share. It doesn't matter. God doesn't care what we give. Because God created us to give. And we have to give, otherwise our souls wither. And that's why it's a joy to give. That's what appreciative integrity is all about. That's what being a cheerful giver is all about. You have done mighty things in all that you have given in years past. In the time that I've been here, two ministries that I've seen blossom, Wednesday night community meals, started out as an idea from a stewardship team of all places. Sam was a part of that team. And it was a team that, boy, went kind of a little bit different direction than what we originally thought about as we were dreaming that ministry together, but it became mighty. And I know some of you are going, well, why are we doing this ministry? I'll tell you why, because we're sharing with other people. And you don't know how many people we helped beyond the Wednesday night dinner, people that needed blankets, people that needed heaters in their home, people that needed help, homeless people that came here. We would not have engaged had we not had those meals. Especially those biscuits and gravy Christmas. And all those that serve those meals, they know that. But I don't think the rest of us really take that to heart, how generous was given of time, talent, and treasure. Our relationship with the Wildcat Academy, that wasn't a relationship we had. That kind of began in my heart when I met Sam. Man, Sam, you had a big impact on my life, just saying. I met Sam at the very first Bright Futures breakfast that they had. That was 7 years ago. 7 years ago we met and we talked, and my heart was touched about forming a partnership with a school. And I had other schools in mind, but bringing it to the church board, they said, you know, let's do some research. Research was done by Sharon Oriel, and she came back. She said, you know, I think we need to connect with the alt school. Doesn't seem like they had too many sponsors for them. So we did. And boy, think of how many lives that have changed there. There are 50 plus kids that are part of the Wildcat Academy. And for the past 5 to 6 years, we've had an impact on their lives. Mock interviews, graduation ceremonies here. We have helped to hopefully increase their graduation rate just by saying, we are a church and we love you. And that's gone through many iterations, but it's been an amazing way where we've generously share of our time, talents, and treasures. We have much to share in the future, church. As we go into the future, we've got this new Alpha program that we really hope will reach out into our community to people that don't know Jesus Christ, because that's really what it's for, so that we can bring them to know Christ by just the most unthreatening way possible, just by being able to have conversation together. We hope that we will have investment of time and talents and treasures in our youth and children ministry by being able to hire a family ministries director part-time. We hope that we're going to be able to do that, which is only going to be possible by what we're able to give in order to do that. And I'm hoping to just really make sure that all of our staff is taken care of well. Because aren't they an amazing staff? Can I hear an amen? Our God calls us to be generous. God calls us to what we owe, which is a sacrifice of thanksgiving, which is to make good our vows to the Most High. So now we have the opportunity to do that. Many of you, when you came in today, you received a generosity card, or you might have gotten this in the mail. For those of you at home, I want you to listen in as well as we talk about how to fill this out, and then I'll give some different directions on what we can do here. If you have this generosity card with you, just want to lift up the top half. You can fill out some contact information there, but basically it asks, what are you going to give financially to the church? And that's up to you. That's up to you and what you want to. I shared last week that Tammy and I give $700 a month. We are increasing to $720. That's not much more. But we try to increase year after year. That's $720 a month. $86-something a year that will be. You all give differently. And that's fine too. And you all might not be able to give. But you can give of your time and your talents as well. And we realize that. By the way, I'm looking out here. I don't see any first-time visitors. But had you been a first-time visitor, I would say, you know what? It's okay not to be a part here unless the Spirit moves you. But I do want to lift up that you can fill this out. And then down at the bottom, for your own records, you can enter that information. Then I invite you to fold this and tear it right down the middle so that you retain this portion. This, by the way, on the back, you can fill out some information there on how you want to be a part of ministries here, and also some other information. This little slip here, what I'd like for you to do is, in just a moment, I'm going to have a prayer, and then Kathy is going to be playing. Actually, she's going to be playing while I'm praying. And then after that prayer, I want to invite you to come forward and place your commitment generosity, your way of showing appreciative integrity, your way of planning to make good your vows to the Most High up here. Now, some of you have said, Rev Kev, I left my filled out generosity card at home, and that's fine. Bring up a blank slip and just include that there, and that way we know that of your intent. And again, if you're not able to give this year, that's understandable. Or if you give differently, not everybody wants to give at this time. They give by an annual sum or just whenever, and that's fine too. Friends, as your pastor, I lift up as the one who's in charge of your discipleship, this is part of it. Just like worship, just like reading the Bible, just like serving other people, how we share our generosity is very important. So in a moment, I'm going to invite you forward, but now let's engage God in some prayer. Sound good? Okay. Will you join me in prayer? Dear God, God Most High, you are generous. You are full of grace. You have blessed us. You have blessed us with treasures and resources. You have blessed us with talents and skills. You have blessed us with time and with energy. Thank you, Lord, for your generosity. We're grateful for your goodness. Lord, we confess the times that we have taken these things for granted. We confess the times that we have been selfish and have not been servants. We confess the times we have compared our blessings to others and have been ungrateful. We confess the times our fears have been much greater than our faith. But Holy One, we want to be good stewards of the treasures, time, and talents you bless us with. We want to be faithful to you and your kingdom. Take away our fears, Holy One, and fill us with faith. Teach us the joys of generosity and investing in your kingdom. Let us not waste a single moment of our lives, but help us to use our talents to serve you and add value to others. Holy God, give us the power each day to reflect your generosity. Give us a commitment of generosity to hurting people and to resource your church. Amen. Mm-hmm.